This is where we begin to deploy kingdom infrastructures that mortifies the flesh. In Romans chapter 9 verse 26, Paul said, I beat my body and I bring it under subjection. So what Paul is trying to do is to silence the voice of the flesh. So many times when you want to begin the journey of sonship, it may take hours and hours of prayers behind closed doors, because what you are trying to do is that you are bringing your body under subjection. You'll start praying for 5 minutes and suddenly many thoughts begin to fly through your mind. If you are a child, you will stand up and go and attend to those things. But when you are a son, you will know that for the Holy Ghost to take over, the flesh must be silenced. The flesh must be mortified. So even though it is hard to pray, a son will kneel down there on his knees, become like the knee of a camel. Because what he's trying to do is beating his body. His body speaks too loud that he cannot hear the Holy Spirit. So when he goes to prayer, suddenly the body makes him feel that, come on, you have been here for too long. Will you be here forever? Go out and have some fun. Then children will open the door and they'll come and look outside. Does he want to rain? Like this weather today. Okay, no problem. And then he will carry his phone and begin WhatsApp. And he will do WhatsApp for 4 hours. He did prayers for 30 minutes. A child will want to pray, and then after a while, he begins to feel unrest in his body. He will just stand up, go to the kitchen, open the pot, close it, go and open the fridge. What is in this fridge? You will close it. He will open the window, close it, and then you go and lie down. Kai, oh boy, no, it's you. He will carry Facebook. And he will be on Facebook for 6 hours. The time that he should spend in the spirit, that's the time he spends on earth. And so he will remain on earth. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 47, he said the first man is of the earth, so earthy. He said the second man is of the spirit and is of heaven, so he's heavenly. He said the same way we have borne the image of the earthly man, we should also bear the image of the heavenly man. So when I go into the spirit to do business in the spirit and my senses want to draw me into the flesh, I will mortify the senses. I will beat my body and I will keep it there. When I train my body, after a while, my body will begin to sense the movements of the spirit. That's the journey of sonship. I kneel down to pray and it looks as if I can't pray for 2 hours. And then I keep at it. I'm not talking congregational prayer, where children come to do some assault in the auditorium and say they are praying. They distract themselves. You know they are children. You will come for ministers meeting and see how we pray. We don't pray and lift chairs up. We don't pray and 10 of us are lying on ourselves. We didn't come to distract ourselves. We came to commune. So when ministers are praying, sometimes you just step aside. The person praying in tongues there may be too loud. And you find your place and you face the wall and you are talking to God for 4 hours. Because your goal is heaven, not activity. So I'm not talking congregational prayer, where you come and all of you are doing, hey. Are you doing juggling? Are you going for Olympics? I'm not talking fleshly displays for children. And the way you will know, come there. They will pray for 1 year, you will still find backbiting. You will still find malice. You will still find immorality. Because it didn't touch them. It was a display of flesh. So the guy who carries the microphone wants to pull down the building, because that time they are streaming it on Facebook. But the moment he drops the mic, he goes and sits down and sleeps. His goal was not prayer. His goal was a show. When they know that the cameraman is coming close, you will receive a reputation that you are people of prayer, but you will not have authority in the spirit. At best, men will clap and say, these people are praying people. You will not have authority in the spirit. It's a show in the flesh. That's not what I'm talking about. Jesus said, when you want to do real prayer, he said, shut the door. Shut the door. Shut the door and come and dig into the waters of eternal life. That's where you pray. Many people in congregation, they can stand for 10 hours because they have a reputation that they are praying horses. They are Mustang. So they can't sit down because some of the sisters,
Nnamdi sitting down.
Because of that reputation, he will walk like a spiritual man for 10 hours.
It's
his will he's exercising, not his spirit. He's training his will, not his spirit. But when you want to do sincere, real business, the first thing your prayer imparts is your flesh. When you truly begin to pray, you forget who is around you. When you truly begin to pray, it will attack your ego. It will attack your pride. It will attack everything that makes you feel you have reputation. You have started the business of prayer. Because until the flesh becomes quiet, the Holy Ghost can be powerful. So what sons do is that they make it a prerogative to live in the spirit. And one of the ways to do it is to beat their senses and bring it under subjection on the altar of prayer. That's why I say when Jesus prayed, he was changed. The fashion of his countenance was altered. When he prayed, he was changed. Because prayer will decimate the flesh. So you can't be a son until you are led of the spirit. When you want to take decisions and 90% of the decision come from your mind, you are a child. You have not yet been led of the spirit. And I know many people, even important destiny decisions, they make it on the strength of assumptions or at best counsels and recommendations from others. They have never known the spirit. They never walk with the spirit. They say a lot of things, but you see them being deceived every day. The reason somebody can come and deceive you is because you don't know the movement of the Holy Spirit. When somebody is talking, even if he's calling the name of Jesus, if you have a rich relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will know that this is not Christ talking. This is a serpent. But many are not sons because they are not led by the Spirit. So one of the things that make you ascend in the realm of sonship is the perpetual leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you will labor to get there. It's not a gift. It's not a token. It's something you step into by deliberate sacrifice. Come up hither. It's a journey with the Holy Spirit. Number two, it is the capacity to focus and constantly behold. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are metamorphosed. We are changed. Change is not a product of advice. Change is a product of beholding and the inner works of the Holy Spirit. That's why you will advise your children, threatening them. The moment they leave your environment, they begin to do what they want. Because you are not exposing them to beholding, but the devil knows the strategy. Everything they see is showing them a picture. You are laboring with advice, threatening them and telling them stories. But when they carry their phone, they see a naked woman. When they go out to buy a razor blade, even the advertisement of razor blade carries a naked woman. What role does a naked woman's picture have to do with the advert of razor blade? Because demons know the laws of the spirit realm. If they keep beholding, they will become. So instead of you bringing them to a place of beholding, you are threatening them, telling them exaggerated stories of how Sister Martha, the first time she went to have sex, she died or she became pregnant. And when she wanted to abort, her womb was removed. She will know all those stories. But the day she enters campus, 2 weeks later, she'll be disflowered. Because the story will not have the power to change her. It is the things she has seen and heard that will make her become. So if we don't behold, we cannot graduate in the realm of sonship. So one thing sons do is that they constantly behold the image of Christ. So they are not just filling themselves with the word of God anymore. They are looking at the word of God because they want to find Jesus. So a child can recite scriptures, put scriptures in his spirit. That's good. But a son is not carried away by the volume of scripture. He is carried away by the depth he has in scripture. So a son can sit on a verse of scripture for 1 year. A child can be gathering 30 scriptures. That's good at that level. But a son is not interested, because a son knows that every scripture is a gate. Every scripture is a portal into a place, a thing, or a reality. Because the scriptures are not words. The scriptures are spirits. So they are places. There are scriptures you begin to look upon and you will appear somewhere in the spirit. Because the scriptures are places. The scriptures are things. There are scriptures you will look upon and you will bet a dimension. Because those things were encapsulated in those words. That's why a man can sit on the scripture. After a while, the rod of healing comes out. I read about Reverend Chris Oyakhilome. He sat on Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He was hearing because God was with him. Because God was with him. That was what stood up in that scripture. Because God was with him. Because God was with him. Because God was with him, became a trumpet until his ears almost broke. He was hearing that thing so loud that he almost destroyed his eardrum. One scripture, and suddenly, because God was with him, 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 because God, and suddenly he exploded. God is with me. And when he entered the healing meeting, everybody was on the floor. Cancers were falling, blind eyes were opening, because that's a reality. A son does not recite many scripture. A son journeys into scripture, because the goal is to behold. I want to find out what is the dimension of Christ that is locked in this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What dimension is kept here? Because I know this is a journey. What is hid in this scripture? And then he begins to explore it like an astronaut exploring space. And he opens that scripture. He opens it. Until suddenly he steps into the love of the Father. Because it's not about the story. It's about the dimension that is kept there. Many children can't do that labor. That's why it says to honor them doubly, that labor in word and in doctrine, because it's a sacrifice. But sons pay that price. There are many people who are prophets, they don't pay that price. That's why they can't showcase any reality. They don't carry anything. The dimensions of God and the excellencies of his spirit, they are locked in scriptures. They are hid there. Only men who can exploit will find it. And when you look, a point will come when that dimension will come out. And you will see it, and you will become what you have seen. Dr. Paul said, I am a weapon. Because he didn't just read, I am God's battle axe. He looked at it until suddenly he saw the weapon that came out. He knows the one he is. Because some men are spears, others are bows. Others are machine guns. Others are explosive. If Rehabonke come into your city, the whole city will explode. He's not an arrow. He's a bomb. He's a bomb. He saw it in the spirit. And he said his goal is to depopulate hell. So he stopped. He wasn't even doing business with God. He came into the world to do business with devil. He said, it's me and you. We will see who we take more souls from this world. I don't need to bring God into this matter. I'm enough for you. I'm not calling the name of God into this matter. I will depopulate hell. Me, I will depopulate hell. Because when I found myself in the spirit, I'm an explosive. So when he enters Lagos, 12 million people can gather. There is no publicity that gathers 12 million people except as a bomb exploded. And sometimes even herbalists, they shut down their shrine. Some run from their shrine because an unknown fire sets the shrine on fire. And your shrine is burning. Why are you running to a crusade ground? Because you saw the bomb. You saw when it exploded. Meanwhile, there are some that are spares. Those ones are for fight. The Bible said that Eleazar the son of Dodo. They can fight for money tonight. They will be slain. The more they slay, the more their elements come alive. That's who they are. But they found it in scripture, because we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. So sons have a walk of beholding. The guy can carry one scripture for 2 weeks and he's just talking that scripture. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed Jesus. A point will come, he will meditate on that scripture until literal oil will begin to drip from his hand. And then he tells you, oil is dripping from my hand. You say, it's a lie. Ah! All these people, they sweat. You don't know what you are saying. If you journey into that scripture, you will discover that there is anointing there. And when you touch it, it will crystallize on your body. You want to ascend? Don't think you will come to a conference and receive impartation. You will remain a child until the word of God comes to life in your spirit. You will remain a child unless you migrate by the word into the realm of sonship, where the Holy Ghost can rule you, where you will begin to behold. At best, what will happen to you when I pray is that the scriptures will come alive. So a scripture that you should look at for 2 weeks, you can see it for 30 minutes and you begin to see what men don't see. And suddenly, you will know why the first Adam was able to rule the galaxies. And like Joshua, you too can come and say, sun, stand, rain, stop. And somebody will look at you and say, this man have the gift of faith. It's not just the gift of faith. You have journeyed to a place and you have seen the mystery of commanding the cosmos. You have seen the mystery. You will step into a place and you will understand the secrets of prayer. There is something about prayer. And as you sit there, after a while, the prayer itself will begin to teach you. And suddenly, it will tell you, 6 a.m. in the morning, just begin to pray. And suddenly you are praying, and you are praying, and you are praying. And without planning, the word just come out of your mouth. What God cannot do does not exist. And suddenly, a whole generation begins to talk about it. What God cannot do does not exist. Lord God. Meanwhile, there are many people doing early morning prayer. And some have started now. But there is one man that found the mystery of the rising of the sun. And by prayer, he looked upon something. And when he starts praying that prayer, a whole city can come there in the morning. 50,000 people can wake up just to participate in that prayer. He may do another meeting. He won't find 10,000 there. But at that hour, there was something that he received. There's a mantle over the morning. And so when that man talks in the morning, he is like the sun. He can push darkness backward because he has received the scepter. The reason is because we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass. Does it not marvel you that the same person can organize a program by 6 to 8 a.m. and 50,000 are watching? And he organizes a program on the same channel by 6 p.m. and they are not up to 10,000. Because there is a mystery he caught about the morning. We all with open faces. This is how we establish government. Beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord. You want to come up hither? You must see something. You can never come up until you see something or until you hear something.